Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn at 6:04. This is WHYY's Morning Edition. This morning, as the sun intensifies, Philadelphia's overnight curfew comes to an end. The order imposed around dinner time last night was one effort to limit overnight riots and looting in the city. Yesterday was a second day of looting and public outrage in response to the death of George Floyd in Minnesota a week ago today. Mayor Kenney addressed the public as the curfew began.
We're justified in our anger when another unarmed black American's life is cut tragically short at the hands of the police. But what's taking place today in our city and across the nation is unacceptable. None of today's acts of violence or damage to property will do anything to restore faith and trust between the police and communities of color.
As Philadelphia remains on high alert, another rally is scheduled for later today. The city has welcomed support of the Pennsylvania National Guard to help with policing. In Philadelphia yesterday, local religious leaders and organizers worked to harness the collective grief and anger for change that has been expressed in and around the city. WHYY's Hemant Kondi reports.
More than 500 people gathered for a peace rally outside City Hall, where local activists and religious leaders made it clear they did not condone the vandalism or looting that spread across the city and region. Activist, radio host, and WHYY columnist Solomon Jones told protesters to harness their rage in long-term change in Philadelphia, which, like Minneapolis, has its own problems with police in communities of color.
I understand people being angry and burning stuff down. I understand people being angry and looting. I understand people being angry and destroying stuff. But what is your agenda? What do you want? What are your demands? Because if you don't have any demands, guess what? Power can seize nothing without a demand.
Jones and other leaders say the first opportunity for change comes tomorrow when voters participate in the primary. Hemant Kondi, WHYY News.
A small rally that began outside Philadelphia's police headquarters midday yesterday resulted in several arrests, including that of WHYY reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt. The rally had only been going on for about 5 minutes when police began arresting some of the roughly 75 protesters. The officers said they gave a dispersal order and that the arrests were for, quote, failure to disperse. The officers appeared to use pepper spray. And some protesters did appear to throw bottles at police after arrests began. Also in the news this morning, Philadelphia firefighters are on the scene of a three-alarm fire at the 3000 block of Kensington Avenue at Indiana Avenue at a rent-a-car center just under the Market Frankfurt L. Sections of the building have collapsed. No injuries have been reported. The building is near an area where there was looting yesterday. Just about 6:07, and we check the forecast for you today, our first day of June. Sunshine to start, a few clouds later, and a high of 73 degrees. Some clouds tonight down to 68. We're up to 67 tomorrow. You're listening to 90.9. This is WHYY. This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. Unrest and looting shook Philadelphia over the weekend, but the city also witnessed peaceful rallies and protests to decry the death of George Floyd, the black man who died 1 week ago at the hands of a white Minneapolis police officer. One speaker over the weekend at City Hall in Philadelphia was Minister Rodney Muhammad, president of the Philadelphia chapter of the NAACP, the country's oldest and largest nonpartisan civil rights organization. I've asked him to join us this morning. Minister Muhammad, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Pleasure to have you. Sir, there are many layers to our story of police brutality and the fight for justice for all people. What is unique about the anger and sadness being expressed in Philadelphia now?
Well, to be honest, for Black America, when we saw the horrific ordeal of that video of George Floyd's life being strangled right out of him. It was another addition to a long set of chapters of police brutality that we've suffered in this country. We have never resolved this problem. The police they represent the enforcers of a racist system. That's the universe that black people live in. So it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Some say it's the drop of water that caused the cup to overflow. But whatever it was, we reached a boiling point and a tipping point. And we can see that America, black and white, is upset about this. I think that, you know, people are open to conversation. It doesn't look like this is going to go away as fast as some may have hoped.
Yeah. And you addressed a peaceful crowd yesterday in front of City Hall. What message did you most fervently want to share with the people who gathered with you?
There's been a problem in our struggle even since the 60s. And well-meaning whites who have worked very hard with Dr. King and others to try to end some of the horrors that they saw black people living in and not being able to vote. There are some things that happen to black people that are very clear to white America that injustices are being done to us. But there are other systemic things that are very, very difficult for white America to see, as they have expressed. And because of the difficulty in seeing the disparities and the unequal way we're dealt with, it becomes difficult to really do something effective about police brutality. So our message yesterday was, at this time, we should be having a conversation about the difficult decision of reassigning white police officers to white areas of the cities of America, and reassigning officers of color to those communities that are identifiably black or African American and brown people. Until something is done on a large-scale therapeutic level, we'll keep counting bodies in the morgue, because the sickness that is expressed by too many white officers, we don't have time to treat it on the job training while they're overseeing black people in neighborhoods primarily populated by us with a whole host of disadvantaging circumstances.
Yeah. Now, many officers, of course, are doing their jobs and being respectful.
Oh, yeah. We believe that they're good officers of every stripe and color or ethnicity, if you will. They're just not good enough to stop the bad ones.
Yeah. Sir, is there a promise? I'm sorry to interrupt. There is a promise to this nation for justice for all. What meaningful reform can you work toward to help keep bad cops accountable? I know you do such work.
Well, we have to think of the long-term game. Obviously, legislation and policy, those are things that the NAACP focused on, and that's why they work in the courts to roll back what we call civil rights gains, because they know that in a very solid way, when we can get laws changed, when we can get policy established, we have the basis for which to work from for the law. Even Dr. King said, you know, they said, the law can't make a man love me. He said, religion and education must do that. He said, but the law can keep him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important, too. So the NAACP is focused on a long game. And our long game is, we got to do something in November to change the personnel in government and the kind of government that we have that has worked to satisfy these more hate-filled cravings that are going on in the country.
Yeah, and tomorrow is primary election day for those who were planning to go to the polls in some of the neighborhoods in Philadelphia that have been under duress. That is a difficult journey to get to those polls.
Well, it is. And you know, the NAACP, along with others, we're saying, look, you came out in numbers because you want to be heard. Come out in even greater numbers so you can be counted. Come out and vote.
Yeah. Sir, you are a minister. You counsel people. You comfort them. For those who are sad, who are scared, men and women, young and old, black and white, where is their hope?
Well, our hope is in righteousness. And the only psychology that's going to work for white America and black America today is truth. If we're not going to be truthful, we're not going to repair the psychological state that white supremacy has done to make someone who's white feel supreme only because the color of their skin is white, to make someone else feel less than only because the color of their skin is black. And we've both been here over 400 years, and we've trained ourselves in these kinds of dichotomies and these dynamics. So there has to be a real re-education process, and short of overhauling the police departments in America that have grown very powerful through their unions now, it's not likely that that's going to happen for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm calling for a reassignment of officers who are white from areas that are predominantly identifiably black. And, you know, there is hope if we start taking some of the right steps. There is hope if white America and black America have the real kind of conversation. There is hope if we change the relationship from a colonizer-colonized relationship or a slave master-slave relationship to one where we're on equitable terms and we live like human beings here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It can get better.
I agree. Thank you so much. Minister Rodney Muhammad, president of the Philadelphia chapter of NAACP, thank you for your time this morning.